Chapter 78. I'm afraid it will go hard with her. The evidence is very strong. And one bad symptom is that she denies everything, denies that she has had a child in the face of the most positive evidence. I saw her myself, and she was obstinately silent to me. She shrank up like a frightened animal when she saw me. I was never so shocked in my life as at the change in her. But I trust that, in the worst case, we may obtain a pardon for the sake of the innocent who are involved. Stuff and nonsense, said Bartle, forgetting in his irritation to whom he was speaking. Beg your pardon, sir, I mean it's stuff and nonsense for the innocent to care about her being hanged. For my own part, I think the sooner such women are put out of the world the better, and the men that help them to do mischief had better go along with them for that matter. What good will you do by keeping such vermin alive, eating the victual that ought feed rational beings? But if Adam's fool enough to care about it, I don't want him to suffer more than's needful. Is he very much cut up, poor fellow? Bartle added, taking out his spectacles and putting them on, as if they would assist his imagination. Yes, I'm afraid the grief cuts very deep, said Mr. Irwin. He looks terribly shattered, and a certain violence came over him now and then yesterday, which made me wish I could have remained near him. But I shall go to Stoniton again tomorrow, and I have confidence enough in the strength of Adam's principle to trust that he will be able to endure the worst without being driven to anything rash. Mr. Irwin, who was involuntarily uttering his own thoughts, rather than addressing Bartle Massey in the last sentence, had in his mind the possibility that the spirit of vengeance towards Arthur, which was the form Adam's anguish was continually taking, might make him seek an encounter that was likely to end more fatally than the one in the grove. This possibility heightened the anxiety with which he looked forward to Arthur's arrival. But Bartle thought Mr. Irwin was referring to suicide, and his face wore a new alarm. I'll tell you what I have in my head, sir, he said, and I hope you'll approve of it. I'm going to shut up my school. If the scholars come, they must go back again, that's all, and I shall go to Stoniton and look after Adam till this business is over. I'll pretend I'm come to look on at the assizes. He can't object to that. What do you think about it, sir? Well, said Mr. Irwin, rather hesitatingly, there would be some real advantages in that. And I honor you for your friendship towards him, Bartle. But, you must be careful what you say to him, you know. I'm afraid you have too little fellow feeling in what you consider his weakness about Teddy. Trust to me, sir, trust to me. I know what you mean. I've been a fool myself in my time, but that's between you and me. I shan't thrust myself on him, only keep my eye on him, and see that he gets some good food, and put in a word here and there. Then, said Mr. Irwin, reassured a little as to Bartle's discretion, I think you'll be doing a good deed, and it will be well for you to let Adam's mother and brother know that you're going. Yes, sir, yes, said Bartle, rising and taking off his spectacles. I'll do that, I'll do that. Though the mother's a whimpering thing, I don't like to come within earshot of her. However, she's a straight-backed, clean woman, none of your slatterns. I wish you goodbye, sir, and thank you for the time you've spared me. You're everybody's friend in this business, everybody's friend. It's a heavy weight you've got on your shoulders. Goodbye, Bartle, till we meet at Stoniton, as I dare say we shall. Bartle hurried away from the rectory, evading Carol's conversational advances, and saying in an exasperated tone to Vixen, whose short legs pattered beside him on the gravel, Now, I shall be obliged to take you with me, you good-for-nothing woman. You'd go fretting yourself to death if I left you, you know you would, and perhaps get snapped up by some tramp. And you'll be running into bad company, I expect, putting your nose in every hole and corner where you've no business. But if you do anything disgraceful, I'll disown you, mind that, madam, mind that. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.